for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is the Thursday morning service, July the 7th, 1994, of the Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. John Fletcher is the speaker for the morning.
Fletcher, as our minister of the morning, and we've just turned the rest of the morning over to him to minister whatever the Lord gives. Tell us where you're from when you get up here, and you can introduce yourself better than I'm doing. So we'll leave that to you and the Lord, John.
Thank you, brother. Well, praise the Lord this morning. I want to introduce my wife, Janet. Janet, would you stand up a minute? Janet and I, when she married me, I owned an appliance and TV chain of stores up in the Indianapolis area, and I'm not bragging, so I was making over $100,000 a year. Stand up just a second, honey. I want to see you. and you know, we lived in a great big house out in the country with 6 acres, and I bought a new car every year, or two or three new cars, whatever, and we just had it made, and then we got saved. Then we got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I didn't tell Janet that when I was 15, I was called to preach. And through a series of events, we ended up selling the business in 1988, and I was ordained as a pastor by the Independent Christian Churches that year. And, now this is terrible to say, but I want to say it as a blessing. I never once asked Janet if it was all right with her if I went into pastoring. She had so shown her loyalty to Christ and to me that I knew. See, I knew. Oh, we prayed about it, but I never said, honey, is it okay? Because if I'd have said, honey, we're going to Africa, she'd have said, let's go. Amos, I just want you to know my wife. My daughters are outside right now giving bill problems and No, I just spoke something to existence. I hope not. Praise God. Well, and I'm going to be talking about that here in just a second. I want to give you a little rundown of my personal testimony for just a second. It won't take me very long. I asked the Lord a couple days ago when I found out I might be speaking that I said, Lord, do you want him to give me my testimony? And he said, what for? He said, okay, you can tell him a few things. So, I was a sinner. I was a heathen bound for hell. Jesus Christ saved me by His blood, by His grace. He baptized me with the Holy Spirit and let me have the evidence of speaking in tongues. He's given me some gifts and let me operate in the gifts of the Spirit. My primary gift that I seem to operate in is the word of knowledge. And it's interesting how the Lord gives me the word of knowledge from time to time. And it's through images or pictures oftentimes. And I felt like that He wanted me to share this because I believe that He told me the other night that there was someone here who might be struggling with that, wondering if what they are receiving is of the Lord or not. So I want to give you an example of how mine operates. I should have known that we were going to be in a deliverance ministry. The very first time the Lord gave me a word of knowledge, I was in an Episcopalian church that was having a renewal. And we were in a little workshop, and the lady was teaching about the gifts of the Spirit, and she kept emphasizing over and over that when you pray for people for healing, don't assume it's a demon. Never assume it's a demon. And they had emphasized this time and time again. The last thing you do is assume that it's a demon. And so she began to say to us, now I just want you to close your eyes and begin to meditate on the Lord because God wants to speak to us in the room today. And I want you to just begin to hear God calling you and speaking to you. Well, people begin to say, well, I sense that somebody has a pain in their shoulder. And somebody, that's me, and they pray for them. Well, I sense somebody has a headache. Somebody, they pray for them. And I kept seeing in my mind's eye this bright orange color. I mean, my whole mind was filled with this orange color. And then this black, like you've seen these things on shows that spin around, like, you know, the hypnotic thing, you know, you look at this. and just a deep black, and it just kept spinning around, and I thought, what in the world is that? Well, so I'd open my eyes and say, well, this isn't of God, and I close them, and here it comes again. And all of a sudden, I saw the face of a demon in my mind's eye. It was horrible looking. It wasn't an angel of light of all, although I know that they come as an angel of light, but this thing, I realized that there was a demon. And then I sensed within my spirit a fear, and it was a fear of death. Well, the meeting was almost over with, and this thing kept going on, and the Lord kept speaking to him and speaking to him and speaking to him, and finally, I raised my hand, and she had already prayed and dismissed us, and I knew, you know when God gives you something, you don't know whether you want to speak it or not, and your stomach starts going, whoa, you know? And I finally raised my hand, and the lady says, yes, sir, did the Lord give you something? You know, hurry up, the Lord give you something? And I said, well, yes, I said, I'm just going to tell you what I saw. And I saw this orange and the black, and I described it all. And then I finally said, and I saw this, well, it's a demon. I saw a demon. And I know what you said, but I saw a demon. And somebody, I guess, if I understand this right, has a fear, and her fear of dying. Now, two seats down from me, there sits about a 35-year-old woman, and she goes, and I'm going, whoa, you know. And she had this big purse, and she reaches down, and she pulls out this book with this black cover, and in big orange letters written by Billy Graham was on death and dying. She had been reading this thing, and it so frightened her that a demon of fear came into her right there. And I said, well, praise God, I know how to get rid of it. And, you know, I assumed it was a demon, even though they told us not to. And everybody just kind of sit there, and I went over, and I'm still, and even then I was even more so, I still think that there's a lot of volume, you know, more volume, the more power you have. And I know that's wrong. But I want to say, in the name of Jesus, spirit of fear, come out of her. And everybody jumps, and people start leaving. Well, the next day at that meeting, we were at a renewal. The next day at the meeting, we dropped the kids off at the babysitters they had available and the people that lived around the church. And it happened to be this lady's house. And I took the girls up to the door, and she came to the door. And I was afraid to ask her. I said, how do you feel? She said, I slept last night for the first time, and I can't tell you how long. So I should have known then that God had something in mind for me more than just the gifts of healing. Amen? So if I say something to you that, well, I saw this, I want to say this right now. God showed me this a couple nights ago. There's someone in this meeting today, and he showed me wheels. You know, the spoke sockets that run an engine. And he showed me they were so well oiled, and they were just running so smoothly. But those wheels begin to slow down, and they slowed down, and they slowed down. And they need to be oiled some more, and smoke began to come out because the friction was starting to build up. The Lord spoke to me and said, there's somebody that was on fire for me. And they were moving in the Holy Spirit. They were moving in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But they let them slow down. They let the oil come out. If that's you this morning, God, you don't have to come forward and stand up. I just want to tell you what God told me to tell you. All you have to do is say, God, I want the oil back. If you'll say it and mean it from your heart, I want to tell you, you'll get it back. That's a word from the Lord for you, whoever you are. Amen. So that's my testimony. And that's all you need to know at this moment. That's all the Lord told me to tell you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you will, to 1 John chapter 2, because I want to talk about Lake Hamilton for just a second. How many know that you're not here just by accident? I'm glad four of you do. 1 John chapter 2. I did a, you know, Brother George was saying last night about getting messages, and he said, I don't have anything that I can go from camp to camp, you know, I just wait for the Lord. I pastor a church, been pastoring a church for 10 years, but I wasn't ordained until 1988, but in Lisdon, Indiana, which is about 20 miles west of Indianapolis on I-74, the town's 300-400 people, and our congregation, 125, 150, something like that, you know, we average four people a week, but we got the membership. No. But I have never preached, I'm not saying it's braggingly, but I'm just to make a point, I have never preached the same message in 9 years. Now, I've preached, yes, I have preached the same message, but always a different content. God always gives me something different. And I really appreciated that. Well, when Brother Glenn told me I was going to preach Thursday, I thought, well, I'll just think of something I preached. You know, here's a good chance to... So I was tempted to preach something I preached, you know. And the Lord said, don't do that. Okay, I won't. But I want to share something with you here about Lake Hamilton. I did preach this a few weeks ago about the little children, young men, and fathers. And I said something to my congregation. I said, you know, I've only met in my life, I think, two fathers. You know, Paul says you have, though you have 10,000 instructors, yet you do not have many fathers. That's a sad condition. I'm afraid today, if Paul were in the church today, he'd say, and though you have 10,000 instructions, most of you don't have any fathers, wouldn't know how to identify one. But I want to show you something here. Look what he says in verse 12, 1 John chapter 2. I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven, for your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. Now, I want to stop there, and I want to tell you this morning. Have you ever wondered about your sins in your life? How many here have ever prayed for God to forgive you a sin, and in the back of your mind, you knew you were going to do it again? Anybody? Well, there's an honest lady over there. God, I know I'm going to do this again. And then the little voice comes and says, well, how can God forgive you if you're going to do this again? I did that one day, and this is about 7 or 8 years ago, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, oh, please forgive me of that. You know, I got angry at my wife, and God, just please forgive me of that. And then I thought, I'm going to do that again. How can He forgive me? And the Lord said, I want you to go in, and He got me studying the First John. And He said to me, He said, you know, John, you think too much of yourself. Even if I didn't want to forgive you, which I do, but even if I didn't want to forgive you because of the act, because I knew that what you were asking me to forgive you of on Monday, you're going to do again on Thursday, I'd do it for His name's sake. What kind of a God would He be if He sent His Son to die for our sins 2,000 years ago before we had ever been born, let alone born again? And the Hebrews says that He died once for all sins. What kind of a God would He be if He said, no, I'm not going to forgive you that, brother, because I know you're going to do it again next week. No, people, God forgives you of your sin when you ask with a sincere heart for Jesus' name's sake. Can you receive that this morning? Amen. So little children, the first step on the ladder, little children, their sins are forgiven. Everybody, that we all have to start right there, don't we? Now, I want you to notice something else down in the latter part of verse 13. He says, I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. How many know when you were born again, you were given the spirit of adoption whereby you can cry, Abba, Father? Amen. So a little child, the first rung on the ladder, if you will, the outer court, is characterized by those who have had their sins forgiven for His name's sake and those who know God as Father. Then we come to young men. Now we're going to progress up a little bit. We're going to come to young men. Look at verse 13. The middle part says, I write to you young men because you've overcome the wicked one. And then down in verse 14 it says, I have written to you young men because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. A young man is characterized by as George spoke about last night, that word that is within him. He has overcome the wicked one. Let me tell you, young men are deliverers.
Yes.
Young men. David, you go back and you begin to read about the young men in the Old Testament. And it was the young men that David would send out to slay the enemy oftentimes. Young men are warriors. And by the way, young men are both male and female.
Right. Yes. Amen.
Amen. So children are characterized. They've had their sins forgiven for His name's sake. They know God as Father. Young men, they have the Word of God abiding in them. They're strong, and they overcome the wicked one. They overcome Satan. And so all of us need to be moving along saying, oh, I'm so glad I'm a child of God, but God, I want to fight for you. I want to go into battle for you, Lord. I want to be a young man. But don't stop there, those of you here who are young men, because the next step is fathers. I've written to you fathers. Now notice what it says. Verse 13, it says, I write to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. Verse 14, I have written to you, fathers, because you have known Him who is from the beginning. One characteristic of a father. Of course they've had their sins forgiven. Of course they are warriors for God. Of course they know Him as Daddy. But you know something? My little girls, for the most part, will only always know me as Father. They'll never know the complete man. And how sad it is that so many Christians are happy just to know Him as Father. But fathers who move from children to young men to fathers, they have gone into His presence. They have looked to Him in the eye, and they have known Him, the great I Am. Fathers reproduce themselves, don't they? I said, I've only met one, two fathers up until this camp meeting. Folks, I want to tell you something. There are fathers in this camp meeting. There are fathers here. There are people here that have known Him who is from the beginning. And if you'll get close to them, if you'll listen to them, you buy their books. Let me tell you what they'll do. Let me tell you how fathers reproduce themselves. Fathers reproduce themselves because they know something. 1 John 3, it has not yet appeared what we shall be, but we know that we shall be as Him when we see Him. Fathers reproduce themselves by taking you to the Father. People, listen, you're not here just to have demons cast out of you. You're here to move up. Get close to the fathers. So, well, who are the fathers? Have the joy of getting close to the Father is recognizing who is the Father. The first father I ever met came to my church a couple years ago. Greg and Jean had him up. I said, there's something different about this man. I had a good word, but I've heard a lot of people with good word, but there was something different. And the Lord began to show me, He's been in there with Him. He's been in there with me. He's a father. And then I met another father that, again, Greg and Jean had up to the church. And then I came down here and I've just seen a whole partial full of them. Get close to them, people. Get close to them. Support them. Bring others. And I don't mean that. I'm not an advertising man. Bring others. And I want to take you back to 1 Timothy 4 because I want to share something with you before I start preaching. How much time do I have, Glenn? 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I want to share something with you that is so very dear to my heart. I come out of an independent Christian church background, Church of Christ, Disciples of Christ. I want you to know something here and notice something in chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, verse 1. Everybody there? Now, I'm not going to preach that long, but I do go through a lot of scriptures. And I always wait until you get there. So when I hear the laugh, then I'll start. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly... By the way, that word expressly there is the only time it is used in the New Testament. The only time. God, the Holy Spirit, is trying to say something to us here. He says, listen to this. Listen carefully, church. Because I'm going to speak this expressly. I'm going to speak this... It has a sense of being spoken audibly, as if Paul heard this audibly. And he says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, how many know we're living in the latter time? Some. The word there in the Greek denotes no quantity. It could be 98%, it could be 8%. It could be many, it could be few. God just says some. But if you read the rest of the book, the idea would be it'd be many because straight and narrow is a path and few there be that follow it. So some will depart from the faith. How many know that you got to be in the faith in order to depart from the faith? These are people who are born again, some of them Spirit-filled, and they're going to depart from the faith. How so? Because they're going to give heed, they're going to listen to, they're going to be directed and guided by seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's serious. Glenn talked from Ezekiel 9 last night. God had marked only a few out of His people. The rest of them had departed from the faith. I want to tell you something, folks. We stand on the brink, I believe, of one of the greatest moves of God in the history of mankind. But I want to tell you there's an opposite side to that. We also stand on one of the greatest moves of people departing from the church of the living God. People that you sit next to in church, some of them will depart. But more than that, I want to tell you, we have denominational churches And I'm like Brother Glenn, I don't preach against denominations as such. I preach against some of their doctrines because we have a lot of people that come in from denominational churches. I came out of the independent Christian church movement. All our church is still considered to be an independent Christian church. We're also called a cult by all of them. And that's not easy. I mean, it really isn't. Hi, brother. Hi, cult. Hi, pastor. Hi, pastor cult. Now, they don't say that. Boy, you see it here. You ever see that in people's eyes? But that's okay. God's grace is greater, isn't it? But people, listen to me. Those people, I just want to run through a few things. Many, many Baptists believe in the doctrine of eternal security. Once saved, always saved. No matter what you do, it's okay. Many, many, many of them believe the gifts have died. When John the Apostle died, that's it. That which is perfect has come. Well, that's the Bible. Well, what about the face-to-face part? Well, that's the Bible. Well, I see. They believe that. Independent Christian churches believe that you're baptismal regeneration. I mean, when you're baptized, that's it. I don't care if you profess Jesus. You get down in the water and come up, you're saved. Except for one thing. My dad was a Sunday school teacher for 60 years and an elder in an independent Christian church for 45 years. When my father was 80 years old, I began to press him, Dad, are you saved? Dad, are you saved? No man can know that until they stand before God and he puts the works up. John is like, told you this all your life. They're like they're on a scale. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, you're in. You won't know it till then. My dad wasn't saved until 5 years before his death, even though he had been in a church his entire life. An elder, a godly man. My dad wouldn't smoke, he wouldn't do nothing because he wanted to be a good example to his children. A gentleman. And he was as lost as the most lost man ever could be. And people, these are people that somebody's got to reach. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. They are being run. Their lives are being directed by demons. And you folks who know about deliverance, who do you think God's going to try and send to them? Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. How many here, by raising their hand, would say, I am a servant of the Lord? Raise your hand. Let me see you. How many servants of the Lord we have? Everybody. If you don't get your hand up, I'm going to call you out and cast that demon off of you. I'm a servant of the Lord. Well, praise God. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. 2 Timothy chapter 2. You know, I do that at church all the time, and they're all back in Philippians, and I'm in Philemon, and, you know. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24. By the way, I really appreciated, Glenn, you letting me minister to the youth this week. I really love that. However, when I go back, I am going to start dividing my salary with the Sunday school teachers on Sunday morning. Verse 24, and a servant of the Lord, are you serving the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Must not quarrel, amen, but be gentle to all, able to teach. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Wait a minute, teaching's not my thing. It is if you're a servant of the Lord. But elders are supposed to be able to teach, so is a servant of the Lord. Or should we just do like the kings and the scribes did in Jeremiah, they just take the pen and cut, well, let's just cut that one out of there. A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, must be gentle, and must be able to teach, and must be patient. Now listen, in humility, correcting those who are in opposition. Opposition of what? In opposition of the Word of God. And folks, I don't care if you are saved or unsaved. If it's not from the book, it's in opposition. We've got to quit. We are in the end times. We've got to get a militant attitude about us. We can't let the demons and that we can't let their doctrines and these seducing spirits overtake our brothers and sisters. They're going to depart from the faith. Correcting those who are in opposition. And by the way, this is not a real fun ministry oftentimes. You go and tell a Baptist that once saved, always saved just isn't quite theologically correct. How many Baptists we got here tonight? Well, praise God, sister. Oh, good for you. Because I don't get ready in humility and humbleness. Correct you. No. If God perhaps will grant them repentance. You know, we just glibly tell people, repent, repent. You know, repentance is a gift. First thing we need to do is, and I heard Doc do this last night. We were praying for a man. He said, oh, God, grant him repentance. We can't steal gifts from God's folks, but we can receive them and we can ask for them. Amen. Okay. He says, if God perhaps will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth. Now listen to verse 26. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having taken them captive to do what? Servant of the Lord. Not only to the saved, but to the unsaved. To the lady sitting in the seat next to you. To the little grandma sitting behind you. To the man that's been the elder in the church for 45 years. To the preacher. To the prophet. To the evangelist. To the teacher. Satan has targeted the body of Christ. He's a legalist and he says, I know that some of them are going to depart. And I'm not going to make it 8%. I'm going for the 98%. People, you have got to leave here with your deliverance intact.
Amen.
You've got to leave here with the power of God on you. You've got to leave here with the truth of God in you. And you've got to go out and you have got to start being a warrior for Jesus Christ. You need to be the servant of the Lord that teaches, that corrects, and that casts out demons and saves not only the unsaved, but save those from the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits. You've got to do it. You've got to do it. Glenn and Irma have a ministry here. Don't go back home and say, oh, I wish you'd have been there. Go back. You want to honor Glenn and Irma? You want to honor these men and women who have taught you? Go back and do what they've taught you to do and to receive yourself. Amen? All right. Now I'm going to get to my message. I want to cover two parts in ministry to you. Turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 8. The Lord just spoke to me and said, you need to cover this real quick first. This just real quick. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. The Lord showed me this a couple of weeks ago. Just one of the little nuggets, you know, just really neat. Matthew chapter 8, verse 2. And behold, a leper came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if... And you want to do a study on the word if there, you preachers. Do a study on the two different ifs. They're in the New Testament. Interesting. Compare it with this if and some others if and see what the Lord is saying there in that if. If you are willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Now back, he says, look what the leper did. He came and worshipped him. And I had a little cross-reference in my Bible, and I was up late one night studying. The Lord said, turn back to that cross-reference. So I said, okay, and so let's go back to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 11. Now, this is the story of the wise men, of course, coming, and it says, and when they had come into the house and they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, they fell down and worshipped him. Now, that word worship there in the Greek is the same word for worship that's in Matthew 8 and 2. And it really is no big deal. God just wanted me to see something else here. I just thought I'd share that with you. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They opened their treasures... And they presented gifts to him. They fell down and worshipped him. How many know that we ought to do exactly what they do? We ought to worship the Lord, shouldn't we? And we ought to open our treasure and present gifts to him, shouldn't we? But you know what the Lord showed me that night? He said, I want you to notice the difference. The wise men opened their treasures and gave gifts to me. But the leper came and worshipped me, and I opened my treasures and gave gifts to him. People... Jesus wants to open his treasures and give gifts to you. Are you willing to receive it? Or are you one of these folks that just keeps giving your treasure and oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Here, I'm just going to give you some of this and give you some of that. And never able to let him open his treasures? I want to tell you, you're being cheated. Okay. Well, so much for that. Let's go now to Luke chapter 11. I want to talk about wrestling for the house and then condemning judgments. Wrestling for the house. Luke chapter 11. Ephesians 6 and 12. Anybody know what Ephesians 6 and 12 says? That's right. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. I was listening to a radio program one time, and some guy had called in, and he says, Brother, I understand that, I know you don't believe that Christians can be demon-possessed. And he said, but I want to tell you, he said, I was saved in 1980, and he said, I went along for 6 years. And he says, even though I was saved, I did this and I did that, and he said, I had some reoccurring problems. And he said, I went to this little church and they put me through a deliverance and I haven't had the problem since. And the guy said, I don't know what experience you had, but you weren't delivered of demons because if you're a Christian, you can't have demons. And I'm on the radio, I'm going on a call and I'm listening and I start yelling on the radio, it's not demon possessed, it's demonized. You can too have a demon. Now listen to me. And I said, Father, what in the world can we do to get these people to understand this verse? And I felt the Lord impress upon me and said, you don't really understand it, John. Well, Lord, I'm casting out demons. Well, yeah. He said, quote it to me. And he wrestled not flesh and blood, and I ran through. He said, no, slow down. We wrestle, not stop. And God says, define wrestling to me. Have you ever tried to do that? You know, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm driving along wrestling. Well, it's wrestling, God. You know, it's wrestling. And back in February, we had a young man that goes to our church, and he's a wrestler. And he won our sectional, and he went on to the regional, and I went down and I watched him wrestle, and the Lord put in my mind's eye this one match that David was in. And he had this guy, and they were down on the ground, and David had his leg around him, and the guy was on his side, and David was trying to pin him, and I mean, there was a struggle, and the guy was resisting him, and their face was red. I mean, every ounce of energy they had, he was trying to pin him, and the other guy was trying not to be pinned. And I think the period's only like 2 or 3 minutes. And I'm telling you, this thing took half the period. These guys were exhausted when it was done. And I said, that's wrestling, God. He said, uh-huh. And that's why I used that word specifically in there. Folks, I want to tell you something. We got a lot of Christians that are in headlocks, leg locks, arm locks. We got a lot of Christians that are being pinned to the mat. And I never realized this, but I used to say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I break your hold. I didn't really understand. I understand it now. You understand it now? Most of you probably already understood it. Maybe some of you don't. All right. Luke chapter 11, verse 24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest. An evil spirit goes out of a man and he goes through dry places and he is seeking rest. Keep your place there and turn back to Matthew 11, please. Keep your place there. Turn back to Matthew 11. Brother Tommy talked to us the other night. Wasn't that an anointed message that Brother Tommy brought us the other night about rest? How many were here to hear that night? Oh, you ought to get that tape. Those didn't hear it. That was an anointing. Oh, they've all been anointed. That was just really, that especially blessed me. Verse 28, Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. This rest means to repose. It means to make exempt from. What God is saying here to us, He is saying, listen, if you're heavy laden, if you're just all downtrodden by working and all of these oppressive things you have on you, He said, come and I'll give you exemption from what I'm doing anymore. Just complete rest. But now look at the next verse. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know what the word rest there means? It doesn't mean exemption. It means recreation, literally. Oh, you'll work for me. You'll be yoked up with me, but it won't be an exemption. It'll be recreation. You know, you go on a vacation. You're still doing things, but it's recreation, isn't it? Now turn back again to Luke chapter 11. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking recreation. Doesn't find any. He's not looking to lay down. He's just looking for recreation. And so what did he do? What does he say? He says, I will return to my house. The word my there in the Greek obviously shows ownership. From which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Matthew 12 says, and empty. I want to talk about the empty part for just a second. Turn to Ephesians 4:27, if you will, please. The demon comes, it's not when it is swept out or when the house is clean, it's when it's empty. That's what you want to target in on. Is my house empty? Ephesians 4:27, what does that say? Give no place to the devil. If you're trying to convince somebody, if you will, persuade somebody that Christians can have demons, this is the verse that you should use. But you need to get your Strong's Concordance out or whatever you have and look up the word place. Topos is the Greek word, and it literally means this. Now listen to this very carefully. A spot in space. You've got a wall over here with a space on it. Oh, look, there's a little spot on that space. Okay? A spot in space. But listen, but Strong says that spot is limited by occupancy. Our motel sign the other night had a no vacancy sign on it. That meant there were no rooms available. The demon comes back and he finds an empty spot. He doesn't see a no vacancy sign. He says, he sees a sign that says, come on in. Turn back, if you will, now to Luke 11. Notice what the demon does. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order and empty. How many here came today, this last week, and you're going back with a new beginning? Amen, you know? Oh, I'm going back with a new beginning. I want to show you something here. The demon goes and takes with him seven other spirits. How many spirits we got now? Eight. Does anybody remember what Brother Tommy said the other night is for the number eight? New beginning. Hey, he's coming back for a new beginning. You thought you had a new beginning. He's coming back for a new beginning. This is my house. I want recreation, and I want water sports. This is my house, he says. Very first thing you have to learn, folks, how to fight to keep your deliverance, you're going to have to decide whose house this is. By the way, it is not your house. You were created for him and by him. All you can do with your house is give it away. This house that you live in, all you can do is give it away. You never own it. That's God's law. How many know God's got laws? Laws beside gravity. Amen? Now listen to me. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6 says this is the temple of God. But I want you to turn back to Hebrews for just a second. I want to show you scripture there in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 6. I want to ask you a question. How many have gone through deliverance here this week? How many? Now, be honest. That thing that you were delivered of, how many of you have already felt it creeping back in? Jason's honest. Anybody else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. One of the first things that will happen after you've been delivered is you hear this little voice saying, when you begin to feel that thing again, that anger, that lust, whatever it is, the first thing that will be said to you, well, you weren't delivered. That's the first thing. Hebrews 3 and 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. The issue, the first issue, folks, to keep your deliverance, the first issue that you have to deal with is whose house are you? And I want to tell you something. If you say, well, I'm my house, you might as well say I'm the demon's house.
Right.
You are either God's house or you are Satan's house. There is no in-betweens. The issue is, first of all, you have to decide whose house does this belong to? Is it bought with a price? Does it belong to Jesus Christ? Or are you going to give it away to Satan? The demon is coming back and he's saying, this is my house. You've got to say, it's not your house, it's his house. Ephesians 3:10. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church to the principalities and powers in the heavenly places. Now, how do they know that principalities and powers are the same one that's in Ephesians 6 and 12? People, it's our privilege. It's our duty to open our mouths and inform them what's going on. We decide whose house it is, and then you inform them. And having done all to stand, then you stand. You get to the front door of this house, and when that thing comes back, said, "Oh, you didn't get delivered." Well, let me inform you, based upon the Word of the Living God, this house belongs to Jesus Christ. There's no vacancy here. There's no vacancy here. It belongs to Jesus. How many of you are ready to tell them that? Are you ready? Can you get a militant attitude about this? Listen, people, we're talking about the house of God. We're talking about somebody that's wanting to ruin you. We're talking about your families, your lives, your ministry. We're talking about your eternal destiny. These things are serious, and you've got to be equally as serious as they are. You need to be more serious, and you need to stand in the confidence of the Lord, and you need to say, "No, no, no, you're not coming in." How many serious about it? Well, do it. Just do it. Tell them.
You demons, you're not coming down.
Come on, tell them. Tell them. Don't give them that house. Don't give them that house. Don't give them that house. It belongs to Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now turn to someone, grab their hand. Come on, turn to someone, grab their hand. Now agree together with them. Agree together. Agree together. This house belongs to Jesus. Come on. Agree together, folks. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, dear. Well, you can be seated when you're done. And if you're not done, don't sit down. Now, let me tell you the next thing the demon's going to say to you when you say that to women, you got an empty room. I know you say no vacancy. There's an empty room in there. Let's get the room filled up. Turn to Proverbs 24 and 3. And let me tell you what God will do. You know, we talk a lot about seed, planting seeds. You just begin to fill that room up. You put the first chair in the room. You just put a little lamp in there. Put something in there. Plant a seed in that room. God will honor it. God will stamp over the doorway, "No, this room is a no-occupant room." Look what it says in Proverbs 24, verse 3. "Through wisdom a house is built." Well, that's true in the natural, but how many know that we're not talking about the natural here? "By understanding it is established." Verse 4, "By knowledge the rooms are filled with" what? "All precious and pleasant riches." It's the Word of God. I'm so thankful that Brother George spoke last night and others that have talked about, you got to get in the Word, you got to get in the Word, you got to get in the Word, you got to get in the Word. How many of you want the grace and peace of God multiplied to you? Not added to you. How many know that 100 plus 10 is not as much as 100 times 10? Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. We got to fill the room up, folks. We need to fill it up with the Word of the living God. Amen? And let me show you what will happen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace. That's what we all want, isn't it? Talked about the peace. Brother talked about the peace last night. Oh, how we want that peace. It'll be multiplied to you. Not added to you. Multiplied to you. But there's a conduit that thing runs down through. What does it say? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. People, you'll never have the grace and peace of God multiplied to you. You'll just come into that first dimension. You'll come into that first realm. You'll have the grace to be saved. You'll have the peace to hang on to your salvation, maybe. But if you want it multiplied. The grace that will take you in where the fathers have been. The grace to see Father Himself. If you want the truly the peace that passes all understanding, you've got to get in the Word. That's the conduit where it flows through. Turn off the television like the brother said last night and get in the Word. And know this, that God's promise is true and it's faithful. If you will get in the Word, if you will... And He said back in Deuteronomy over and over, He says back in there, He says, if you will hear the Word, if you will learn the Word, if you will do the Word, if you will keep the Word in your heart, you will live, go in and possess the land. Proverbs 3 tells us that the Word is health to us. But we got to hear it. And not only hear it, we have to learn it. And not only learn it, we have to do it. And not only do it, but keep it in our hearts. We have all kinds of Christians that are dying prematurely because they're not hearing, learning, and doing God's words.
Amen.
And we have all kinds of Christians that are going in, but they come back out. When I was a boy, there was a fellow that lived in my hometown. He lived out in the country a little way, and he had a horse. And I used to go out to Roy's house and ride that horse, and oh, I loved that, but I had to go home. I didn't own that horse. There's a lot of Christians that are going in. They come to a service like this, and they're just so blessed by the joy and the response of the Lord to other people. Oh, wasn't that such a great service? And the rest of the week, they are downcast, depressed. They have no peace. They have no joy. You know why? Because they're not possessing it. God had offered to you not only to go in, but to possess His promises. But you have to get in the Word to know how. You've got to hear. You've got to learn His Word. You've got to do His Word. You've got to keep it in His heart, in your heart. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, fill the rooms up. You know what a lot of us want? Oh, Father, now you just fill that room up with the Holy Spirit. And that's true. That is very true. But we need to say, Holy Spirit, we know what's supposed to be in there, not only with you. You're not in there just by yourself. You want the Word in there. I want to tell you something, folks. You who've been delivered, if you have a responsibility now, you'll be back here, and you should come back. But you ought to bring other people back. It's true. We're all going to need delivered over and over again because they're not going to give up on you. But I want to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely. These are godly people that prayed for you. I stood down here. I watched Brother Frank day before yesterday. I watched Brother Bill yesterday. And I want to tell you something. When they told the demons to leave, I guarantee you they left. They left.
Yes.
They left. These are men and women who walked by faith, not by sight. I don't care what you felt or what you thought or what the demon's telling you. They left.
Yes.
Now, are you going to keep it? Are you going to keep it? Declare whose house it is. Inform them and keep informing them and then begin to fill those rooms. Fill the rooms with the knowledge of the living God. Grace and peace will be multiplied to you. Amen? All right. That's the first part. Second part, condemning judgments. I want to talk about condemning judgments very, very quickly. Turn to James chapter 3. I say very quickly. I hope it's very quickly. I think I'm at home preaching on Sunday morning right now. I keep, looking. James chapter 3, verse 5. This particular message, I did do some of this in a message, though, about a year or two ago. It's called The Power of the Tongue. And I really felt the Lord wanted me to share this with you because, once again, it's talking about declaration of something. So look at verse 5, if you will. We have, first of all, a description of the tongue and what a description it is that God gives us. How many know that God knows what the tongue looks like? Even though so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles. Now look at verse 6. Here's a description. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set, God set it there, among our members that it defiles what? Now, how many believe that means the body? Huh? The tongue, this little thing here, huh? It can defile the whole body. Now look at this, and sets on fire in the Greek. And a lot of people say, well, why can't you keep talking about the Greek? Well, I'm not a Greek scholar, but boy, I got all these neat Greek books. I let somebody else do the scholar, I just do the reading. Amen? I can't even pronounce half of them. But I can read the English part. And people think, boy, you really know the Greek. I just don't ask them to pronounce it. Anyway, and it sets on fire. The word sets on fire there means to ignite. Literally, it means to inflame with passion. And it ignites the course. The word course there in the Greek means a wheel as a runner, like an oval course. And a runner runs on it. But the idea is that it's a circuit that never ends. Strong says this, course, the word, is a wheel as a runner, i.e., figuratively, a circuit of physical effects. The tongue, which defiles the whole body, can ignite a course, a wheel that just keeps turning, of nature. I do know how to pronounce the Greek word for nature. It's Genesis. It means the nativity. It means generation. Your tongue, people's tongue against you, can ignite in you a never-ending wheel of physical effects. Round and round it goes. Where it stops, nobody knows. And it can take you back and ignite the generational curses that are upon you. And it is set on fire by what? Demons are involved. Oh, how happy they are. How happy they are to set on fire those curses of the generational curses of the things in your life that will cause you to go round and round and round. God says, verse 9, with it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be. You know what the word curse there means in the Greek? I used to think it meant, well, you come to church and you just bless God, and then you go out and somebody gets in line in front of the cafeteria and you cuss them out. Doesn't mean that. The word curse literally there means to doom. To doom. God's trying to tell us something, folks, about our mouth. He's trying to tell us something about our mouth. Now, I want to run through some scriptures real quick, turn back to Proverbs, and I want to show you what God, who created this tongue and who so set it, He set it this way, as a member in our body. I want to show you what He says about our mouth, about our tongue. Proverbs, we'll begin with Proverbs chapter 6. We've got to run through these things real fast. Proverbs chapter 6, beginning with verse 2. I want to show you what the Bible says, how powerful your tongue and your mouth is. You know, we have this idea, you know, well, you're just stupid. Well, that didn't mean anything. It just rolled off our lips and just fell to the ground. You're going to see it didn't just fall off your lips and roll to the ground. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. You are taken by the words of your mouth. Proverbs 10 and 11, here's a good thing. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Why do you have to say to your little daughter, your little son, you're just stupid? Why can't you say, you're so pretty? You're smart. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 9. The hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will deliver. You know how many destroyed people there are out there, folks? They've been destroyed by people's mouths. Literally, curses have been placed on them. Literally, curses. The righteous, through their knowledge, shall deliver them. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12 and 6. The words of the wicked are lie in wait for blood, but then the mouth of the upright, again, will deliver them. Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Proverbs 12:18, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. You know, secular medical doctor, I think doctor probably affirm this. You know, people, they bring us, well, they're just dying of cancer. But, you know, just be nice to them. Say good things to them. You know, don't get them upset. You know, just speak nice things and speak love to them. Because it seems to have a way of healing sometimes. The Bible says it has a way of healing. Proverbs 13, verse 2 and 3. A man shall eat well by the fruit of his mouth, but the soul of the unfaithful feeds on violence. Proverbs 14 and 3. In the mouth of a fool is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise will preserve them. Proverbs 15 and 4. A wholesome, a righteous tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Some of you sitting before me right now you've had your spirit broken by the law of God because of what people have said to you, because of the perverseness that's been spoken to you. Bless your hearts. But I'm going to show you how to get out of it. God is, I'm not. Proverbs 15:23. A man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. You ever been encouraged by someone? Proverbs 16 and 10. Glenn, I think you're going to appreciate this one. I want to show you the law of God. Look what it says. Divination is on the lips of the king. His mouth must not transgress in judgment. I want to tell you something, folks. If ever there were a king over the United States who had divination on his lips, we've got one in the White House right now. Now, I know we pray for our kings and our presidents. Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work. It is an abomination for kings to commit wickedness. Listen to this. For a throne is established by righteousness. Let me tell you, the throne of the presidency of the United States that Bill Clinton sits on today, that throne was established in righteousness 200 and some odd years ago. We need to pray for our president. We need to pray for our country. Yeah, my president. Proverbs 18, yes, man, and for our president. Proverbs 17 or 18, verses 7 and 8. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. The words of a talebearer, a slanderer, are like wounds. They go down in the, listen to this, they go down in the inmost body. Are you getting this? This is powerful stuff, folks, the Lord's trying to tell us. We're about done with this now. Proverbs 18 and 21. Most of us know this. How many of us believe it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. I want to tell you a real quick story. Several years ago, there was a man in our congregation. He was a missionary, as a matter of fact. One afternoon, he was out, never did like me, and he was out talking to another fellow in our church about getting me fired. He went home that afternoon and he had an aneurysm. They rushed him to the hospital, put him on life support systems. He was on that system for 2.5 days, and they told his wife, they said, there's nothing we can do. All of his mental signs are done. And everybody's praying and praying, and a lot of people in the church are there. And she decided to take him off the life support system and let God have his way. He's supposed to die, he's supposed to die. They said, well, he will die. And I felt the Lord speak to me and say, if I so desire, he will die. And so I spoke that to the people in the room. And the church, a bunch of the people in the church were gathered around, and they're coming in, and we're singing, you know, Rock of Ages and all, you know, chorus songs and, oh, how I love Jesus, you know. And, you know, it was a real neat time of testimony for the power of the Lord. And they came in and they took all the life support system off of him, and we're all looking at his chest and he's breathing. They took the life support system off. He just kept on going. For another 3 days he went. It was 6:45 in the morning. I hadn't been to bed in 42 hours and I hadn't eaten in 36 hours. I was exhausted. His wife, dear wife, was over sitting in the chair, and just all of a sudden she broke down. She walked over to her husband laying there prostrate on that bed, his eyes fixed, glazed over. They couldn't get his eye closed, and it just terrible looking his eyes were. She walked over and she started crying. She says, why? Why doesn't God either heal him or take him? And something rose up inside of me. And I walked over to that man, and I called him by name. I said, body of so-and-so, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to die. And that moment, that man died. Now, folks, when I say that moment, I mean I stepped back and he went, and it was over with. Obviously, I have thought a million times, could I have said, live? But I know one thing, the power of death is in the tongue. And I also know the power of life is in the tongue. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Proverbs 30:32. If you have been foolish in exalting yourself, or if you have devised evil, put your hand on your mouth. If you've been thinking up here about how great you are, God is saying, don't. How many know where all we're going? I'm going to read something to you from Derek Prince's book, Blessing on Curse. You may want to get this when this meeting's over with. Just real quick here. How many times have I said just real quick? Listen to this. Derek's wife, Ruth, writes this. In 1978, shortly before our marriage, Derek and I were lying on the beach in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. I said to Derek, would you pray for my legs? They hurt so much. Immediately, he knelt, placed his hands on the calves of my legs and began to speak to them. Thank you, legs. I want you to know I appreciate you. You carried Ruth safely everywhere she needed to go, and now you have brought her to me. Thank you, legs. I thought that was an extraordinary way for a serious Bible teacher to pray for his fiancée, but the pain subsided. Later, Derek told me that he thought he had been unsaying something I might have said about my legs. I recalled a scene in the girls' room at my high school when I was 15 or 16. Another girl had come in and stood combing her hair. I looked at her shapely legs and I looked at my own heavy calves and ankles and said, I hate my legs. In effect, I had placed a curse on my legs. When your father said to you, you want to mount to anything? When your mother said to you, you're just like your dad. And your dad was a drunk. When they called you stupid. They called you bastards. And on. People, a law of God went into effect. Something happened. When you said to your husband, I hate sex. I don't want to have sex anymore. Demons were there to put in circle and to put in motion that fire, that flame, that wheel, and you start having female problems? Fine, let's make it true. Hey, did you hear that? Did you hear that? Dad just called him stupid. Let's get on that wave and ride it in. So what do we do about it? Well, I want to tell you something, folks. God didn't leave you defenseless. Maybe you've just never known it before. But you're going to today. Praise God. Some of you will get set free today. If you hear this word today that God's given to you, you're going to get set free today. Turn to Isaiah 54:17. You're going to do some more declaration here in just a second. But you're not going to be speaking to personalities. I want you to know that demons came in on that. And there may be demons still lodged in there. But we're going to get rid of their foothold right now. And once that foothold is rid of, you can come down here and myself, my brothers, my sisters will help me. We'll get rid of the demons that have taken a hold of that. Isaiah 54:17. We all quote the first part. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. But that's just not any weapon, folks. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, comma. For every tongue which rises against you in judgment. You know what the word judgment means there? The word judgment means to sentence. It means to pass a verdict. You're stupid. You're no good. You just had a sentence passed on you. Here you are, this little 3-4-year-old child. Man, you are ugly. You just had a verdict passed on you. But God says no weapon formed against you will prosper if you don't let it. For every tongue that rises against you to place a verdict on you, you. Everybody say, you.
You.
Turn to the person next to you and say, you.
You.
Don't laugh, folks. Turn to the person next to you and counsel them and say, you. How many know this is serious business? We're talking about getting free. You shall condemn. Do you know what the word condemn means in the Hebrew?
It means to disturb, to violate. It means to declare wrong. You're stupid. You're wrong. The demons say it's my house. You're wrong. Your dad said you're stupid. You're wrong. How can the mind of Christ be stupid? This is the heritage. The word means inheritance. How many are servants of the Lord? This is the inheritance of the servant of the Lord. My folks died in a car accident in 1990. They left us some money. You notice I didn't come down here and pass out that money for all you to spend. It was my inheritance. God says to you, my son, my daughter, you've got an inheritance. Use it. Pick it up and use it. Pick it up and use it. Because you see, my son, my daughter, look at the last part. Your righteousness is from me. And it's a thus saith the Lord. How many tongues have risen against you, my brother, my sister? How many times have you placed curses on people? We need to ask God to grant us repentance. And then we need to ask God to take those curses off that we have placed on people. And then we need to condemn with our mouth. We need to take our inheritance, our heritage, and we need to declare, Dad, you were wrong. I forgive you, but you were wrong. Mother, I forgive you, but you were wrong. Teacher, I forgive you, but you were wrong. First husband, first wife, I forgive you, but you were wrong. Boss, you're wrong. Stand to your feet. Brother Tommy, would you come down and join me? All the ministers, would you come down, please? Praise God. Let's get set free of this, okay? When you leave here, and when you go home, and you hear your little daughter, by the way, turn back to Numbers. No, don't do it now, but you men, go to Numbers 30, and there's an interesting little thing about the law. It says, for you men, if your wife makes a vow with her mouth in a day, and if you hear it, you can disavow it. You can say, I rebuke that. If your daughters, your children, make a vow with their mouth, you can cut it off. If you don't, God says He'll establish that vow. Father, I ask You in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to grant everyone in this room, myself included, Lord, repentance. Yes. For the times, Lord, that we have called someone stupid, or for the times, Lord, that we have condemned someone with our tongue. So many times, Lord, and most of the time we did it in ignorance, but God, there were times we didn't do it in ignorance. We did it out of anger. We did it out of hate. We did it out of passion. No, God, we just allowed demons to set in motion that never-ending circuit. Satan, I inform you today, you principalities and powers, I'm a son of the living God, and by the blood of Jesus Christ and by His name, I inform you today, we're breaking the wheel. It's stopping today. Amen. Ask God, repent right now. Bow your heads and repent, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord. Lord, I repent of all those times that I have said things to hurt people. Lord, to place a curse on them, to doom them. God, I thank You for the gift of repentance today, in Jesus' name. Thank You, Jesus. I thank You for Your blood that covers us. Have you repented? Now raise your hands and say, Jesus, upon the authority of Your word, and because You'll do it for Your Son's namesake, I accept. My forgiveness. Now, ask God to break any curse, to stop the wheel that you put in motion. Ask Him to bring it off of those people today. Go to the north, south, east, and west, Holy Spirit, and break them all. Go ahead, do it. Father, I ask You to go to the north, south, east, and west. To draw them out. Lord, to see all the people, Father, that I have heard and placed curses on,
And Lord, to draw them off and to loosen today in the name of Jesus. To loosen today in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Now mix the word with faith. Mix the word with faith. Don't sit there with your head down. I did that to my little girl. Get your head up. Get your head up. This is God's promise to you. Our God can't lie. Get your head up. Are you ready to break them off of you? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. For every tongue that has ever risen against you in judgment to pass a verdict on you, you shall declare wrong. This is the inheritance of the servant of God, and your righteousness is from God. I want you to lift your voices in one accord. I want you to never bow your head to a demon. You respect them from the standpoint of power, but you never bow your head to them because you have greater power within you. You bow your head to the living God. Never bow your head to a principality in power. Raise your eyes up to the heavenly powers, to those principalities and powers, and declare with one voice and say this. Principalities and powers.
Principalities and powers.
I declare to you today.
I declare to you today.
I break. Every condemnation that has ever come to me.
Every condemnation that has ever come to me.
By the word of the living God.
By the word of the living God.
This is my heritage.
This is my heritage.
It is wrong.
It is wrong.
Now bow your head to God. And in humility, thank Him. Thank Him for your word. Anyone who feels that demonic activity and demonic powers would have come in from those curses and the Holy Spirit has spoken to you and said it's still there, the foothold has been broken. Receive it in faith. Mix the word with faith. And right now, before we dismiss, you come down, you grab one of these blessed saints down here, and let them pray for you. The foothold has been broken. Come on, folks. If you want prayer for those demonic powers, come on down with them.
We're not going to dismiss. We're going to continue right on with the prayer.
Okay. All right. Praise God. Folks, we're going to continue on with the prayer. Some of you have to go to the bathroom. You want a drink of water, go ahead. But listen, just the rest of you sit down. Let the Holy Spirit move on you. Reach out to these people. Begin to pray for them. Folks, these people are having, they're having things broken off of them right now they've had for years. Janet, you and Gene come up here. Going over there. All right. Come on over here, brother. Gene, you pray for her. Janet, you stand right here. Pray for, okay? Come here, I want you to pray for somebody, all right? Stand right here, honey. Up here. Let her pray for you here, okay?
I feel like I was the one that you spoke to at the very beginning.
Not the wheels? Okay. Thank you, Lady Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, you gave me a promise. You said you'd oil the wheels again. Now, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let the oil come down, Lord. Let the oil come down. Thank you for confirming your word, Lord. Now just let the oil flow down upon this woman in Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit's upon you now. Just raise your hands up to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I want to tell you, the wheels are... Go ahead. The wheels are starting to turn. Just go ahead. Take it all. Take it all. Take it all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Glory to God. Come ahead, honey. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I give you glory. I give you praise, Lord. I give you, oh, Father, thank you for this one that's been so injured. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every foothold has been broken. You have no more power here. Now come out of her right now. You are wrong. You are wrong. You are wrong. We declare to be wrong. She has the mind of Christ. She has the beauty of holiness. You are wrong. Come out of her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every demonic power that was set in her and came into her when those words, those cursings came in Jesus' name, come out of her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now just receive it. Just receive it. Just receive it. Receive it. Say,
This house
belongs to my Jesus.
Belongs to my Jesus.
It's his.
It's his.
And I take it back.
I take it back.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
Then turn around and pray for this lady right here in faith. Minor Lord, come on, that's it. Yes, oh, glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come out of her in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Just take it all. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Lord, just touch her lips, Lord. Touch her lips, Lord. All perversion come off of her right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, fill her lips with the praises of your God, of God Almighty, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to you, Lord. Glory to you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Hi, Marshall. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Paul. Praise you, Lord. I give you glory. I give you praise, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. The second hand, okay? Raise your hand and start praising the Lord, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I give you praise. I give you glory, Lord. Yes. Right here. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I give you glory, Lord. I give you praise. Hallelujah. Get right up here. We're going to do it then. Raise your hands up. Let's clap them together here. In Jesus' name, I agree with my brother. I agree with my brother. We condemn together every judgment, every verdict, every sentence that was ever spoken into his being. I agree with him this hour. This is his heritage. This is our heritage. Our righteousness comes from our God through the blood of Jesus Christ and through the faithfulness of Christ on the resurrection. Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God. He is even now making intercessions for this man. And I command every spirit that rode in those waves of judgment into this man, I command you to leave him now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This house belongs to Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name right now. Come out in Jesus' name. We give you glory. We give you praise, Father. We give you honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, I ask you right now to release this man's mind from all of those judgments in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We release you. We cut it off right now in Jesus' name. We cancel the excitement. All darkness go in Jesus' name. Father, let the light, let the light, let the light come in. Let the light come in, Lord. Oh, Father, multiply grace and peace to this man, Lord. Let the knowledge of God come into him. Father, in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit is resting on you right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, just bless this man abundantly, Father, with your knowledge. Let the grace and let the peace come in. Brother, something's coming out of you right now. Just take in a deep breath and breathe it out. Thank you, Jesus. Deep breath. Breathe it out. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.